Oh, yeah.
This is one of those ones in retrospect where I wouldn't, like, gravitate. Like, when this came out, like, there's other Madonna songs I'd gravitate towards. Like, Borderline is good, right? And all that. Material Girl wouldn't have been one of them, but now in retrospect, I'd let this jam.
I agree. I don't turn it off.
Right.
It's no Express Yourself.
Yeah. No.
This is Lucky Star. This is the very much the right level of nostalgia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Borderline's my favorite. This nostalgia-filled show is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 1035.
Get us in line, Sam.
DCNT Movie Talk, not Madonna Talk. We talk about movies in theaters this week, DVD and Blu-ray releases this week, new out on streaming, movies out this week 10 years ago, movies out this week 20 years ago, and whatever else we feel like talking about.
How long before the Madonna movie comes out?
How is there not a Madonna movie?
Do you think she's going to have to die first?
Yeah, she has to die first.
Because I don't think Madge will want anybody to play herself.
No, yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know, there's an entire TV series based on the Queen of England, and she's still alive.
What was her black and white one?
John movie
coming out. Truth or Dare.
I actually really like Truth or Dare.
It's interesting in retrospect because it's like all like media manipulation, like pretending it's a documentary, but it's kind of not.
Right.
Yeah.
And the juxtaposition between the black and white and the interviews and then the concert footage. And that was really interesting.
But maybe a better question or relevant or similar question at least. So when is the Madonna like biopic coming out? Because you know there's going to be one at some point. And when is like the Broadway production that is based around Madonna songs? Like the Mamma Mia of Madonna.
Yep.
When does that come out?
That guy asking that question is Drew.
Hi.
Across the table, we have John Justin.
Hello.
We also have comedian Brian Miller.
The material girl.
And sometimes comedian Brian McDaniel.
Yeah.
Not that much.
And reigning news quiz champion Brian Miller.
And me, I'm Sam Sansbury.
I'm gonna
talk about movies.
I'm gonna go back to what Brian said based off of what you said a moment ago. I don't think any of that happens until she's passed away. And I think it's partly due to the fact that right now she's such a for lack of a better term, such a weirdo.
But she's still performing.
Yeah, but she's kind of irrelevant right now. And she looks like she's trying too hard. She doesn't look like she does any.
She stayed relevant for longer than almost any human being in the music industry can.
Yeah,
but she's accurate. Like, it's almost like there was somebody who lived for like 180 years and then they start to die and you're like, oh, they're getting old. And you're like, well, they lived for 180
years.
But I do think for her to let somebody play her and do all that is basically for her to acknowledge that she's old and that she can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
She's going to cosplay Madonna up until the point that
she's doing now via Botox.
And let's give her some political credit, too, because she saw something in Dennis Rodman far before.
That's right. Actually, I think Dennis Rodman saw something in her, but
that's where I was going.
Movies in theaters this week.
A worm.
The Possession of Hannah Grace. Anna and the Apocalypse.
So, oddly, we get two horror movies. I don't know anything about The Possession of Hannah Grace, but I did watch the trailer for Anna and the Apocalypse.
Which is apparently a horror musical?
Yes, and I want to see it. It looks really interesting.
I'm a big horror guy, so it's got a lot of buzz in the horror community.
They're giving it a sort of a Shaun of the Dead meets La La Land. That's the mashup.
Why?
It sounds like its own genre now.
The trailer looks really funny. I don't want to see it during the holidays, but you know.
Isn't it also kind of Christmas themed?
Yes, it is Christmas. Because
she's holding a big candy cane.
Yeah.
When I first started, it looked like maybe Forced Whimsy. It's like we've got zombies and Christmas and singing, you know. But the reviews have been so positive that I'm curious now.
It's British, so it's got the good humor.
That's good.
It's got 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, which for a horror musical, it's pretty strong. A zombie apocalypse threatens the sleepy town of Little Haven at Christmas, forcing Anna and her friends to fight, slash, and sing their way to survival, facing the undead in a desperate race to reach their loved ones. But they soon discover that no one is safe in this new world, and with civilization falling apart around them, the only people they can truly rely on is each other.
I'm more like.
I know, I'm kind of fascinated by.
I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't. The reviews make me. It sounds weird enough that if it was dumb, I don't think the reviews would be good.
Right.
You know, there's some movies where you're like, yeah, well, it might suck, but the reviews are kind of gonna lean that direction because it's a review.
Review bait.
I'm somebody who was very affected by The Exorcist, growing up.
Yeah,
So kind of like, even though, for whatever reason, kind of like, devil movies kind of like freak me out a little bit. And seeing the trailer for the Possession movie, it looked super creepy. I didn't like it at all. I kind of want to see it because it did make me, you know, the trailer even made me a little scared. But it makes me want to see it. But it's the type of thing that like scares me more than, you know, other movies.
Sam, would you happen to have a synopsis?
I sure do. The Possession of Hannah Grace is 25% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Sad.
A shocking exorcism spirals out of control, claiming the life of a young woman. Months later, morgue worker Megan Reed takes delivery of a disfigured cadaver during the graveyard shift. Locked inside the basement corridors, Megan's horrifying visions soon lead her to believe that the body is possessed by a demonic force.
Oh, you know what? I have heard that this is a pretty bad knockoff of The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is a pretty decent horror movie that was sort of under the radar with Brian Cox. He plays a he and his son have to do this autopsy, and as they're figuring out, they start to suspect some supernatural goings-on. It's good.
You know what? Now I figured out why I was so scared. I thought it was the Possession of Nancy Grace.
That would be terrifying.
Oh, yeah. As terrifying as that joke.
That joke was 2 out of 10.
Drew, you're into, you like the, your family likes the horror flicks.
I like the horror flicks. And the thing about, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in Rotten Tomato.
Right, I was going to say, it's kind of sad that you do.
Of horror movies. You know, having a highly reviewed horror movie is a bit of a rarity.
Well, it's why I'm kind of confused about the Anna and the Apocalypse.
Right, when they get a high rating, that's I almost always see them because you're like, well, this must be really good. But plenty of times there's pretty good ones that get fairly low. Like, what was Happy Death Day's rating? Did that do well?
Because
that was
she'll look it up.
That was an awesome movie.
It was fun, and that's my point. It's like even if a movie isn't like critically received well or isn't getting great reviews, it can still be fun. Mm. And the horror genre is the perfect, you know, venue for that. It can still satisfy, you know, what I'm looking for when I go see a horror movie. You know,
Strangers Pray at Night, I'm sure, did not have a great Rotten Tomatoes review.
It absolutely doesn't deserve a good Rotten Tomatoes
review. But it's not bad.
I had fun.
It was what I was looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day had 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice. I can't wait for that sequel.
Yeah.
And the Strangers Pray at Night had 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. It's definitely better than 40%.
Yeah, I had more than 40% of fun.
Yeah. I had like 65% fun.
Yeah, I'd put around 60-65. I think that's fair. Yeah.
DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. Mission Impossible Fallout. Ooh. The Handmaid's Tale Season 2.
Ugh.
And Yellowstone Season 1.
Speak to Mission Impossible Fallout. And that's just such a good movie. Christopher McQuarrie is a really good director. I'm excited to see where he ends up going. I listened to a bunch of interviews with him. Empire Magazine's podcast did like this extensive 3-hour sit down with him on Mission Impossible Fallout, and he's one of those creative minds where it's fascinating to listen to the amount of detail, what they wanted to do, what they wanted to make, the reason why they wanted to make it, and he's becoming one of my favorite directors, and Fallout's fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of the best entries in that series, and that, man, the last few of those have been so good.
Yeah.
My favorite action movie series, I think, actually going right now.
Next to Fast and Furious.
I prefer the Mission
Impossible.
I love Fast and Furious, but I Mission Impossible movies are they're dazzling.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like Lord Xenu got to somebody.
Have any of you guys actually watched The Handmaid's Tale?
I watched the first few episodes of it.
I watched the first couple, but I read the book, and the book I really like, but the book is really depressing, and the show is just a really depressing long version of the book. Yeah. I'm curious to see the second one because there's definitely not – the book does not leave possibility for a – second one in an obvious way. So I'm curious to see.
Well, maybe I'll have to check out the book. I think
The Handmaid's Tale, the success of that show is like one of the worst things that's ever happened in this country.
What?
It's the worst thing that ever happened to Melania Trump's Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, oh, we're right on the verge of The Handmaid's Tale. Oh, look at this Handmaid's Tale. And you got people showing up dressed like the women from The Handmaid's Tale. It's like, we're nowhere. The fact that you can do and say all those things indicates we are nowhere near becoming The Handmaid's Tale. Everybody just chill out.
We're not going to become nuns in red.
They're not nuns.
Oh, okay.
They're not nuns. I feel like your innocence would be destroyed by actually watching the show.
Applying The Handmaid's Tale to what's going on. It just drives me batty.
Yellowstone. Have any of you guys watched Yellowstone?
No. Have you?
I love Yellowstone so much. I'm actually bummed that I have to wait so long for season 2.
Oh, you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole season, yeah.
She loves a good geyser.
I binge watched it when I broke up my foot. It's much better than a broken collarbone type movie. It's really, really good. Seriously.
Was some people have Rotten Tomatoes. Like, Sam has broken collarbones.
Yeah. Like, I didn't just watch it because I couldn't do anything else but watch TV. I did watch it because it was really good. Like, it's a really, really good show. It's about this guy who owns property in Wyoming. Or yeah, it's either Wyoming or Montana. I think it's Wyoming. The size of Rhode Island. Like,
it'll
he owns
be Wyoming.
That was a really dumb moment. Anyway, he owns a place called Yellowstone Ranch.
Is it Costner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this looks good.
It looks really good.
It's really good. It's really interesting. There's, like, a lot of politics that goes into it, a lot of property rights. It's really good. I actually, Andrew Langer is who got me really interested in listening to it. Yeah, because he mentioned it when we were in D.C.
Well, Costner, you know, he's old, but, you know, he's faithful.
Wow.
You know what?
Fun fact, there's not
geysers over muskets.
Fun fact, there's no geysers in the show.
You are the Wyatt Earp to my tombstone, sir.
It's unfortunate you don't want to come on the show anymore, Brian McDaniel.
Good job.
That was a sick movie-centric burn right
Way
there.
Way to turn that around. That was good.
Coming in and bringing hell with me.
Good show, though. So. New out on streaming, we have Plumpkin. It's on Netflix.
That sounds
Aniston.
Dirty.
That was a P or a B.
Yeah.
P.
Can somebody tell Netflix to just stop making movies?
I completely agree.
Just stop.
Make series all you want, but do not make movies.
Stop.
Why did Jennifer Aniston do a movie called Plumpkin?
I don't know.
She's not busy right now.
Yeah, I just stopped.
She did Leprechaun 2.
And she can stop making movies, too.
I've never been a fan of her in movies.
No, me neither.
She was amazing in The Horrible Boss.
That was it.
She was pretty good in that, but her movies are generally not that. It's not that I think she's bad.
But I'll tell you what.
As an ancillary character, she's fine.
Yeah.
Yes, a Jennifer Aniston film is going to be pretty bad.
I do like her in Horrible Bosses. I will say that you could put somebody else in that role and it would be better.
Sure, maybe.
I don't know. I thought
she nailed that spot, but you know, again, as a supporting character, I think Jennifer Aniston's fine. Mm. As a lead, you're right. Mm. She can't carry a movie.
I think she suffers the issue that I have with her. She'll just forever be from Friends, and I just can't get past. I just can't get past that.
Mm. I'm trying to find the synopsis for this movie.
Let's go around the room. Anybody care the synopsis for Plumpkin?
I'm curious.
I think that we have the title wrong. I think it's Dumplin'.
I think it is Dumplin'.
Oh, is it Dumplin'?
I think it's Dumplin'.
Oh, wow.
But
It's really unfortunate that your movie talk list came out that way.
Be more careful in curating your movie talk
Why
list.
Why did you type it that way, Sam?
This is a suggestion from John.
I don't know. It's just your movie talk. You host it.
Yeah, it's your show.
I have a question for Sam, but I'll ask it off air.
Wow. Really is unfortunate you don't want to be on the show anymore.
That was pretty funny.
This Dumplin' actually sounds far more interesting than Blumpkin.
I think Blumpkin sounds way better than Dumplin'.
She might have just answered my question.
All right.
Do you have a synopsis?
I don't know.
Did you Google the wrong thing just now,
No.
Sam?
No, I just got a bunch of articles. Hold on a second.
Yeah, don't do that. Google it, but not at work.
Not at work, yeah.
All right, let me busily look over the rest of Sam's movie talk to make sure the rest of it's okay.
Coming up next,
Cleveland Steamer the movie. I didn't know that was
going to happen. Well, she's looking up the
Hot Carl.
Okay, all right.
Well, you can go ahead.
Hot Carl Time Machine.
Yeah.
Slight typo.
Oh. Show's destroyed.
And it's not Jennifer Aniston destroyed. Either. It's Courtney Cox.
Jennifer Aniston.
That would be pretty great.
No, it is Jennifer Aniston. The movie is Dumplin'. The quote, the synopsis says, the plus-size teenage daughter of a former beauty queen signs up for her mom's pageant as a protest that escalates when other contestants follow in her footsteps, revolutionizing the pageant and their small Texas town.
We get to learn something.
Fuck, I'll save it for later. The mystery's been cracked, but we can talk about it later on.
Okay, all right. While we're talking about streaming, I want to throw in a plug for a show called Homecoming on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I heard it's really good.
I'm only two episodes in, and I'm very much enjoying it. However, I'm into it because it's based on a podcast. It's based on a podcast series, like a radio drama podcast that was put together and produced last year. Two seasons of it. The podcast was amazing. It was incredible, and it had David Cross and David Schwimmer. And I mean, it had a great, fantastic cast on. But Catherine Kinney was the lead. She played the Julia Roberts role. The show has Julia Roberts, the actor who plays Lip from Shameless, is in it as well. It's pretty intriguing. So far, like I said, only two episodes in. It's following the podcast pretty closely, and if it continues to, I expect it'll be pretty good.
All right.
Movies out this week 10 years ago. Four Christmases, Australia, Milk, and Transporter 3.
I have not seen any of these of the Transporter movies.
I am shocked that you have not seen the Transporter
franchise. Nope.
Those
seen
are,
any
those
of
are
them.
Yeah. Diminishing returns big time.
I'm not a big Statham fan.
Statham for me, it's kind of like The Rock. I can almost watch anything with Jason Statham in it.
I saw Milk. That was good.
Sean Penn?
Yep. Yeah. I think it won best screenplay or something like that. It was good.
Was that, Gus? Who did that one? It wasn't Gus Van Zandt, was it?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
Okay, that's
I know. I forget the guy's name who wrote it, but yeah, it's good. It's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's like most biopics never to me go above the level of good.
Yeah, Sean Penn, right?
Yeah, he's good. It's fine.
Playing Harvey Milk.
Australia was really bad.
Yeah.
That was a really indulgent, long thing no one cared about.
It always seems like that one seemed weird to me because it's like you've named, it's such a wide net you've cast by naming it Australia.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it the history of Australia?
Right.
Is it quintessentially Australia?
Really care that much about any particular part of Australia?
Yeah, right.
If you called the movie Japan, it'd almost be like, is that racist? Can you just call a movie Japan? Do we get to make a sweeping statement about all of Japan?
Yeah. You're going to just make a movie called America.
And Four Christmases is Tim Allen, right? And I haven't.
No, that's Christmas with the Cranks.
Four Christmases is Vince Vaughn.
Oh, I have seen that.
Reese Witherspoon.
It's okay.
It's all right.
The Vince Vaughn parts, like with him and his family, that was pretty funny. I thought that the chemistry between the two of them was lacking. And
he's too tall, she's too short.
Vince Vaughn.
She's literally standing on like four Christmas boxes.
They tried for a while to make Vince Vaughn sort of a rom-com thing, and it never worked. That's not his thing.
I agree.
Not his thing at all. He is not a rom-com leading man. They did the movie with him and Jennifer Aniston.
The breakup.
That was just sad.
I didn't mind the breakup.
I liked it.
Just depressing.
Delivery Man, I liked.
John, you liked the breakup?
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Baby got lemons.
Oh, that movie was just, it was just uncomfortable to watch.
I agree. From my disposal, maybe it was supposed
to be. Didn't like the end, but yeah.
No, it was supposed to be a comedy.
Well,
it was marketed as a comedy.
I laugh.
Why? Because you laugh at sad things.
you make me laugh.
Wow. It got dark.
Damn. Sam bringing some truth up in here.
Your words are hurtful.
What kind of role do you think that Vince Vaughn would be good in? Because I don't think that he's good in
swingers.
Stop it. Vince Vaughn plays Vince Vaughn.
Yes,
very well.
He's the buddy in a comedy.
Yeah. Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
Fantastic.
He's a buddy comedy guy.
Yeah.
And he's good at that.
Yeah. Swingers, Wedding Crashers, old school.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He's fantastic in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
When he's used appropriately, he's fantastic. Yes. And when he's not, he's kind of grating.
When
he's in Hacksaw Ridge and he was supposed to be be training all the World War II soldiers. I'm like, yeah, Vince Vaughn ain't training a World War II soldier.
Yeah.
and remember,
hey baby, wanna get your guns? Baby, yeah, we're gonna go. Yeah, baby, we're gonna go shoot some Nazis. Baby, yeah.
Remember the Cell with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, that's a bad movie.
That was terrible, and he was completely miscast.
Yes.
That.
And he was actually one of the best parts of, in my opinion, Jurassic Park Lost World.
Yes.
Yeah. He was
hot off of Swingers.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
I don't even remember him being in Jurassic Park.
He was the photographer. Yeah, it was good.
He's in the trailer for Fighting With My Family.
That's right. That movie looks really good.
Hour and a half long WWE advertisement that they're putting out.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Can't wait.
Way to stop the show, Drew.
Hey, I got a Vince Vaughn story.
So I always I'll always pull up because I like to have the synopsis. Yeah, I like to have the synopsis in front of me. And for the movie called Milk, I just searched milk. And for the movie called Australia, I just searched Australia.
It's pretty broad search terms.
Pretty broad movie titles.
Now, remember the guy who killed Harvey Milk tried to use Twinkies as a defense, saying that he was overly sugared.
That's right. That was that, wasn't it? The Twinkie defense?
Yeah. And I actually I haven't seen the movie Milk. But, in law school, you kind of learn about the Twinkie defense.
Oh, Milk wasn't the prequel to Butter?
Does anybody
I do like
care?
Butter. That's a funny movie.
Does Butter's anybody great. Care about Transporter 3?
No.
No. Okay.
Well,
we can move on.
It's the same thing. The same as 2 and 1.
Yeah, let's move on so we can get that other discussion topic after we do 20 years.
Movies out 20 years ago, Psycho.
Gus Van Zandt.
Speaking of Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Speaking of Vince Vaughn.
Gus Van Zandt.
And Gus Van Zandt, yeah.
Oh, that was what a dumb idea. What a bad execution of a dumb idea. Yeah. Everything about that was bad.
And this was the shot for shot.
Yep.
And that's what, and we're going to get into this in a moment because we're going to talk a little bit about Lion King. But that's where the controversy is going a bit with Lion King. But yeah, the Psycho one was
the only thing that makes me mad about Psycho is I don't have cable anymore. But when I would have cable, and you're scrolling through the guide,
it says Psycho's on,
and it was on all the time. There was a period of time where it seems like it was always on, and I cannot tell you how many times I got fooled.
Yep.
Into flipping that on and seeing Vince Vaughn and Anne Heche.
Yeah.
Getting crap! Ugh. It's the terrible one.
I forgot Anne Heche was a thing.
She was the Janet Lee. The only thing, Bill Macy, William Macy, was the detective. That was a good casting.
Yeah.
But the only difference between that and the original was they left in a couple of shots that were supposed to be in the original that were cut for content.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've gotten our first look at Lion King, the quote live action version of Lion King. Do you guys consider what they're calling live action? Because it's all CGI.
Yeah,
because it's all like lions.
Yeah, there's two
and
different
stuff.
Things going on with the Lion King right now. One is that, and there's subtle differences, but when you look at the trailer, it's and they haven't said yet. It's leaning towards almost a shot by shot remake of the cartoon.
So it's Beauty and the Beast, basically, right?
Right, right. Well, no. Oh.
I
don't remember it being. I mean, I've seen Beauty and the Beast a couple of times, and I wouldn't. It's close.
I know it's pretty darn close.
This looks way closer.
Oh, really? Okay.
But the other controversy around it is that it is all CGI. The Jungle Book was completely CGI apart from the kid.
Mm.
And this is all CGI. So
it, the Lion King.
Is it appropriate to call it live action?
I'm going to go no. I'm going to say no. It's just a new kind of animation.
Yeah, it is a new kind of animation. I just don't see the point of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with one. I don't really mind either way because I'm really excited to see it anyway, and I think it's going to be gorgeous. But there's like that kind of animation that they did with Avatar where they like wore the suits.
Oh, the motion capture?
Yeah. If they had like people in motion capture suits crawling around like cats, then they can call it live action. But if they didn't do that, then I don't know why they're marketing it as a live action film.
I have the fix. It's really, really simple, right? Here's the real simple fix. You don't call it the live action remake. Mm-hmm. You say it's animated for live action.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what they should do. Real, real simple. Or CGI for live action.
Yeah.
You know, I get what they're going for, and maybe it's neither here nor there.
Right.
But I think what the controversy is coming about is that if they end up, if a movie like this ends up being up for awards, right, are we venturing into a weird territory where you've got up for a traditional best picture, but you got The Lion King where the whole thing was animated.
Right.
Top to bottom.
The only thing I'll say is I generally agree. I don't think they should be able to call this live action, but the only reason that Titanic won an Oscar was because of the boat, which wasn't real.
But all the characters and key players are all acting.
If all the actors in Titanic had been computer generated, now I'm saying that's animated.
No.
The boat wasn't up for best actor.
No, but it's the only reason. It's the only reason they won. So I was talking more about if they win an award.
Sure. Yeah.
It looks like a beautiful movie.
No, it
though.
Does. Oh, I mean, gosh. I'm looking. I had no interest when I saw the trailer. I was like, okay, I'm in. You know, But
if it's shot for shot, I'll be disappointed. I will. I'll probably
really?
Looks.
I think Sam's right. It'll still be gorgeous. It'll still be a spectacle. It'll probably still be worth seeing. But I will be a little disappointed.
Are they gonna
because
sing?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's
see,
a musical.
I just think it's not exactly Uncanny Valley, but like I'd rather see a cartoonier representation of this. Like I don't think I'm going to feel more, but I'm rather less attached to Simba because it's like, well, he looks more like a real lion.
Yeah, but a real
lion doesn't walk around and sing, and a real monkey doesn't pick up a lion and coronate him king.
But
so.
have you watched the trailer yet?
Yeah, I think it looks really stupid.
I generally
hate all things Disney. Not like other things they own because they own everything, but I'm a big Disney hater, but I really do like the original Lion King. I think it's very good.
Love the Lion King.
Oh, I take it back. This might be my favorite Madonna song.
This one's good.
Yeah.
This has been TCNT Movie Talk here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We do this every week.
Making the most of the dark.
Next week. But to them.